Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
What's going on? My name is Isaac Sloan, and I am proud to be bringing you another week of unbridled, unfounded, inappropriate happiness. And as always, I am joined by Peach Fest two-time player on the main Peach stage Friday with Marco Benevento, and then debuting her band for the first time on the Peach Fest stage after a groundbreaking performance at the Grove stage last year. It's Karina Reichman. Karina, we have a lot to talk about, as always.
Oh, snap, Isaac. You just went there. You went there. Yeah. When Isaac introduces the show, you know it's going to be a good show. This is big. This is huge. Hi. Yeah. Hi. I mean, we have a lot to dive into, clearly. And, you know, Peach Fest being sort of the crown jewel, the centerpiece, if you will, of the weekend, I feel like, not just personally, but in our small corner of the world here. I can't wait to get into it, but man, what a thing. What an amazing event. What an incredible confluence of bands and friends and people and food vendors and art and cool shit. I mean, I just love going to Scranton once a year. That's all I can say. So look forward to digging into that with you, my friend. And Isaac was there too, ladies and gentlemen. Isaac was there too. My archivist.
I was about to say, that is a special dimension of this week's episode, is that we attended Peach Music Festival together. And obviously you played it and have a whole kind of other side of it to really talk about. But being on the ground with you in that environment is very, very special. We've been doing it for, you know, going on, I don't know, 14, 15 years now together. Yeah. Since we were very young. And it's changed so much, and also in so many ways has been a sort of, I don't know, a real kind of foundational thing in our lives to go see music together over the summer, to go to festivals like Peach, and to take in, as you said, not just the music, but the whole environs. It's a amazing thing, and I'm very excited to get into it. But we'd be remiss not to talk about the Billy Strings and Trey collaboration that went down at Pier 17 in New York City last Wednesday night.
It's so true, and, you know, so much to say on that front, and it's funny, you know, we put out a weekly episode, right, and sometimes, like, you know, we record, and then something super killing happens on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and it's like, ah, shit, like, is that last week's news? But no, that is, you know, ephemeral news in
right.
my book.
Right.
And yeah, we'd be super remiss not to touch on that because, you know, last week we spent a good portion of the episode talking about Trey and Goose. As any respectable, jam band centric podcast would, right? And so we went deep on that. And then Trey, you know, just came out and surprised all of us with a very in-depth, very dope Billy String sit-in last Wednesday, I believe, at Pier 17 here in New York City. For those who don't know, Pier 17 is a really, really sick outdoor venue that I believe is only, it's new. It's in maybe its third or fourth year in operation, I believe. And it's sort of between the two bridges downtown on the water. You get to see the Williamsburg Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge. All the bridges are in effect. And just a beautiful skyline, beautiful setting to see live music in. And man, they got after it. I think they broke the Mixler the Mixler version of the internet. You know, when people say we broke the internet, they broke that in terms of the stream, because so many people hopped on to listen to this. And once again, Trey Anastasio, legend.
Oh, totally.
You know, arguably one of the best, right? And he's just not only sitting in with bands, you know, but he is doing unprecedented amounts of homework, learning not just a tune or two, but really going in and kind of, you know, joining bands for their entire set, which is so cool. And man, Billy, talk about deserving. Everybody's jamming with Billy these days, as they should, and Trey is no exception. So this was really cool. Isaac, what were you about to say? I feel like I cut you off.
I was just going to say that, you know, with Billy Strings, you know, just as much as Trey these days seems to be making so many headlines, and it's become like almost sort of a joke on this podcast. It's like kind of newsworthy when nothing happens with Billy Strings. It's like, should somebody check on Billy? He hasn't been totally breaking the internet this week. So is something up? Because he's, I mean, come on, he's had a kind of record year. You know, I remember when the show was announced at Pier 17, it sold out pretty quickly. But then tickets just became harder and harder to find as the show approached, which, you know, these days it seems to sort of work in the opposite direction. And day of show, there's a number of tickets to be had. This became a very hard ticket. And the day before this show, he announced that his next area headlining appearance will be at the Nassau Coliseum. So he is, you know, his star is rising continuously, and really kind of made it for the perfect moment for Trey to grace his stage and, you know, elevate any band he plays with like only he can.
Without a doubt. And it's true. It's, you know, with Billy, his star has risen and so quickly, sort of, that, like, you know, to see a Pier 17 sellout happen so quick, obviously get, you know, complete, you know, approval from an idol of his, an idol of ours, an idol of all of ours, you know, Trey, and of course, Les Claypool. And he's had, you know, so many people, you know, just on his side, as they should be. And now it's like Nassau Coliseum. I mean, guys, like, for those who don't know, this is, you know, where Fish plays in Long Island. It's an arena. We've seen countless acts there. We've seen, you know, Fish a million times and Rammstein. And, like, you know, it's, I've seen Slayer there. I've seen all kinds of music there. It's enormous. It's an arena. What can you say? So just seeing Billy Strings go from, I mean, I remember seeing him what feels like 3 years ago in the Relics office, you know, playing a little set, you know, for press purposes in a glorified closet with Relics branding on it, you know, to Brooklyn Bowl, to the Cap, to all of these things. You know, it's just amazing to watch his star rise. And yeah, so with Trey, you know, he comes up, and of course with Goose, it was palpable that, I mean, not only palpable, but just interesting, and I would say a good move, you know, that Trey played all of their original music. But here with the Billy sit-in, we have a different take here, playing Back on the Train, correct?
Correct.
And
yep.
And what was the other one again?
Well, Back on the Train, and then Love and Regret, which is a Billy original. Then
sure.
I'm Blue, I'm Lonesome, Bill Monroe cover, All Fall Down with John, the John Hartford cover that I believe Billy and Les Claypool played earlier this year.
Sure.
And
yeah.
then My Love Comes Rolling Down, a Doc Watson tune, and then closing it out with Gotta Jaboo, of course, that a Fish song. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So we're looking at mostly covers, though some covers that have been in the Billy repertoire for a little bit here, and some, yeah, and Fish tunes, which is just a different thing. And I think it's cool because, you know, with Billy, he's just so his own thing, right? Of course, it's from the bluegrass world, obviously, but he is so flipping it on its head, modernizing it, making it his own, which is exactly what we love about him and everything. So, you know, whereas Goose is, you know, a two-set jam band, among other things. Of course, we can dig deeper into that, and we did last week, and we'll continue to for many years to come, I'm sure, because Goose is a very interesting beast of their own. But I think it's very cool that Billy was down, you know, kind of in his bluegrass-centric world to play a couple Fish tunes, of course, the John Hartford tune, Bill Monroe, et cetera, et cetera. And Trey just hopped on up there, and he never got off. And, of course, that was a different vibe, too, because it's all acoustic. You know, you see Trey shredding acoustic guitar, obviously, when he does his solo sets, which happens now from time to time. But, you know, to see a whole set of him ripping a different style, you know, not a Languedoc with two tube screamers running through it. Like, you're watching Trey play acoustic guitar with Billy motherfucking Strings. And that's just something, there's something really to love about that. And I'm so stoked for, I wasn't there, and I wish I was, but I'm so stoked for everybody who got to take that in and just, you know, the Trey takeover of the week. Just kind of, you know, I find the whole torch passing rhetoric a little, you know, played out, or just, I feel like that's the wrong verbiage. To me, it's a seal of approval. It's a head nod. It's a high five. It's a fuck yeah, I see what you're doing. I love it. I recognize that you are dope. Let's play together type thing, you know?
Completely.
Right? There's something to really be said by that. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. And I hope, you know, I hope the string continues without him becoming, you know, Warren Haynes or John Popper sitting in with everybody. You know, it's a really cool thing.
No, there's a lot to what happens, you're saying.
Right? Yeah, it happens not too frequently, obviously, which is what makes it very exciting. It just happened twice in a week here in New York. So, yeah.
Well, crazy. Obviously the guy loves to play. So when he has, you know, killer musicians to play with, people like Goose who are bringing new original tunes to the table, Billy Strings, who, like you said, is honoring the bluegrass tradition in a very major way, also contributing a plethora of excellent songs, originals, and also, you know, jamming on the Fish tunes.
Right? Bringing a whole new vibe to, you know, the bluegrass tradition, and bring, you know, even when he was doing Primus covers with Les Claypool, like, that's incredible, you know? All of it is super dope. And of course, as we say every week, Billy is just Mr. Headlines, even when he does nothing, you know? But he never does nothing. He's always doing something. So tip of the hat to you. Tip of the hat to Trey Anastasio. A beautiful thing. I'm so stoked for both acts, and they are, you know, continuing to push the needle forward, you know, and bring new original music, as you said, to the table. And we need that, because without that, the genre dies. And live music, you know, we need people writing songs and doing their own thing and being their own versions of themselves. And these are great examples of acts that are doing that. And the Trey seal of approval, we love to see it here at Inappropriate Happiness. So that is very exciting.
In terms of headlines, I also need to mention that Billy Strings' band is now a five-piece. On Saturday night, they officially welcomed Alex Hargraves, who is a fiddle player, to the band. He has been playing with them a bunch, and they made it official. I guess they proposed to him on stage, and he responded with a resounding yes. And now Billy Strings has a fiddle player who is an excellent musician in his own right and adds a lot to the sound.
Congratulations, Mr. Hargraves. We are delighted to welcome you. We will probably talk about you every single week on this podcast. Be ready.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I mean, he knows what he signed it up for, but, you know, who knows where this train's headed? It's really amazing.
It's just cool. The beginning, baby. Just the beginning. Alex, you're going in, baby. You're going in deep. I love it. Ah, super dope. Wow. Well, that was the obligatory Billy Strings segment here. And now we can move closer to Peach Fest, but there's one other thing that we need to discuss. Well, I'm sure there are lots of other things, but one thing that we are going to discuss, which is sort of the, I want to say, West Coast counterpart here. Similar bands, similar ethos, similar vibe. A lot of bands did this sort of shuffle from Quincy, California to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yes, I am talking about the High Sierra Music Festival. And just wanted to give a shout out. Obviously, Isaac and I were not there, but, you know, many of the bands played sort of double duty here, either going from Scranton to California or California to Scranton, which, by the way, it's not an easy festival to get to, High Sierra. Trust me, I looked into it, and I'll tell you why in a second. But we have Pigeons playing ping pong. We have Goose. We have J-Rad. We have Marco Benevento. And, you know, all these bands basically played either, you know, Peach Fest first and then went and did High Sierra or vice versa. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing and obviously a festival I've been dying to play. But the unfortunate thing for me, you know, I had to play with my band on Saturday at Peach Fest, right?
And so unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. It's just so unfortunate. And Marco was playing High Sierra on Sunday, but it was like at noon or whatever it was. And we looked into every option to try and get me from one place to the next. And without flying private, there was just no commercial option that would have gotten me there in time to play both sets on either coast. So I stuck it out with my band and very pleased to say that Mr. Reed Mathis, bless his heart, he is just plays circles around your girl. I can't even, you know, and he was in the Marco Benevento band long before I was and plays on some of the first few records, which was great, but of course hasn't played any of the new material. So he learned a bunch of tunes and played some old ones that I'm sure he was still, you know, that were kicking around his brain somewhere in there. And they had a great set over there on Sunday at High Sierra. And I'm just stoked, you know, super stoked that not just anybody filled in, it was Reed. And, you know, I spent so long learning Reed's bass lines on Marco tunes from the first few records there. And it's just a full circle kind of amazing thing. And shout out Reed. Reed is the best. And he is a nasty musician. He is on some other shit, like really, truly. So very honored and sad to miss it at the same time. So shout out to all the bands who did the shuffle. They all had, I spoke to just about all the ones that I mentioned, and it was, you know, not a struggle, but it's an intense thing. It's an intense thing when you're flying from festival to festival and they're on opposite ends of the country and you have to coordinate everything and putting on huge shows. It's an undertaking. So much respect. Go, everybody. And that brings us to where we were, which is Scranton, Pennsylvania. Oh, baby, we do it all the time. We love it. I feel like I said last week, I feel like it was like my fifth or sixth Peach Fest and my second performing. And man, where do we begin, Isaac? Where do we even begin? I don't even know.
Well, we both got down there on Friday, but Thursday was not bad with our boy Billy Strings headlining Trouble No More, performing the Allman Brothers' Eat a Peach at Keller Williams, Samantha Fish. That is a pretty stacked Thursday sort of warm-up day. But yes, like I said, we got down there on Friday, and you know, the Peach Fest, for those who don't know, is at Montage Mountain in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and the main stage is a kind of traditional amphitheater, a shed with seats and a lawn, And there's also the Grove stage, which is parked where you first walk into the festival, and the Mushroom stage, which is a bit of a walk away. And so there are these three stages really grounded by this amphitheater shed in the middle of it. And I think it's a really excellent grounds for a festival. I'm very, you know, impressed that somebody had the idea and the execution to put this on. Because, you know, walking in, it is just sort of palpably well run, and also, you know, free, and the kind of environment that one wants to find themselves in to hear this music.
Certainly. And it has both the feeling of being like, you know, large, like you definitely feel like you're at a big festival, while also feeling manageable, which is an interesting and, you know, a hard line to toe, you know. And it's kind of great that they do that, which is amazing. And so Friday we get there. Eggy played on the main stage right before Marco Benevento, so I got to see some Eggy. They were fabulous, and they garnered a rather large crowd at, you know, 12:30 p.m. My God, 12:30 p.m., which was great, and it was awesome to see them. And you know, they're young and ready to go. People seem ready to go for them. It was awesome. And then there we go. I played my first set of the weekend with Mr. Marco Benevento on that very stage, the Peach stage, the main stage. It's the Tented Amphitheater stage, as Isaac said. And set was super rad. But right before the set, Isaac, Marco, it wasn't my bass amp. It's Marco's bass amp that tours with us. And you know, it lives at Marco's house. It lives in Marco's trailer. I only see it at Marco shows, you know? So we're setting that up, and I'm getting no signal. And I'm like, oh boy. And suddenly, not like, I'm like kind of calling out for help, and nobody's there to help me. And I'm like, oh geez, like, this is before the set, right? And I go back there, and the kind gentleman, the bass player of Eggy, comes and plops his very own bass head on the thing. And it works immediately. And not only does he do that, but it is the very same bass amp that I use with my band. And so I know exactly what settings I like and the exact EQing that works for me. And I'm so grateful. So shout out to them for being so cool and being, you know, letting me run all kinds of dumb shit through their through their bass head amp. So that was really very kind. And then we had a ripping 45-minute set right there, which is super, super fun. We played one of the new tunes off Marco's new record, which is called Benevento. And the tune is called At the End or the Beginning. That was awesome. We also played some staples. We played Dropkick. We played At the Show, Limbs of a Pine, et cetera, et cetera. It was really, really fun. So that was great. And then, Isaac, that day, we got to really kick it, you and I. We saw Steel Pulse. We saw J-Rad. There was a rain delay somewhere there in the middle, which was unfortunate. But then everything got sorted out. Man, it was a really very pleasant Friday that, to me, you know, as soon you sort of didn't realize that, you know, Saturday there would be even more people there. Saturday just felt overrun, and in a good way, but like certainly, you know, nuts to butts, poles to holes, as I like to say. You know what I mean? It was palpably more crowded to me. How about you? What was your take on all of this?
Well, you know, Saturday was a big day for our, you know, yes, kind of a sect of the festival. The band Melt, shout out to our producer Marlo Shankweiler, and our dear friends in Melt, who, you know, I've been seeing for the past 5 years, opened the main stage at 12:30 and garnered a bunch of new listeners who returned to their Grove stage set at 8:30 amongst a bunch of other people. And I thought they were clearly one of the, I mean, we're biased, but come on now, clearly a breakout band of the festival. They played incredibly well, had two well put together sets of excellent original tunes. If you don't know Melt, go check them out. So it was incredible to start the day that way. But like you said, it just kept getting more and more full. Let's talk about some of these acts, right? Neighbor had a set at the Mushroom Stage that was very, very crowded, which is excellent. Another up and coming group. On the main stage, Solise also formerly had played the Grove Stage. Is that correct?
Correct. Last year.
Solise, excellent guitar player, original tunes as well. And then Little Revivalists, Trey, Anastasio Band, and Goose. So, I mean, that's maybe half of the bill on Saturday, but those were the acts that I caught and the ones that stood out to me.
100%. And shout out to my dear friend Raylan Baxter, who also played right before Solise on the main stage. He donned a Karina Reichman shirt for his whole set, which I was so touched by. Oh my God, totally. Yeah, he is my good pal, and I love his music, and he's a gem. So shout out Raylan Baxter. If you don't know his music, definitely check it out, because he is he's a hell of a penman, you know? He really gets it popping, and I love that guy. He's awesome. His late father is a gentleman named Bucky Baxter, who played on, he's like an OG Nashville cat. Look up Bucky Baxter. He's played on Dylan's records and all kinds of shit that'll blow your lid off. So Raylan just was born into it and, you know, fucking has had a hell of a career of his own and writes amazing music. So he's a cool, cool motherfucker. Thank you for wearing my shirt on stage. Ripe played the Mushroom Stage and gave me an unprecedented shout out, which I really appreciate as well, where they said, you know, they said, we've seen a lot of bands this weekend that we've loved, everybody, we saw some shit today that we absolutely loved, something to that effect. Shout out to Karina, or let's hear it for Karina Reichman. And then crowd roared and they ran around the stage and they played their next tune. And I'm honored. I love those guys. They're so awesome. So it's really just cool. And as you can tell, you know, Peach Fest, this is of course a jam centric and Allman, and you know, a festival founded on Allman Brothers music, you know, Eat a Peach, et cetera, et cetera. But really, I'm impressed by, you know, there really are diverse acts and sounds on this lineup, and it was really cool to take in all the different stuff, which was really just an awesome element of it. I mean, Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience, come on, let's go. That was super cool. Seeing Steel Pulse once again really just brought the Blaze of Fire energy to my heart once more, and I appreciate that.
And let's talk about your set.
Dude, I had a sick, so Saturday, I was a busy bitch on Saturday, and I love that. So I played at 2 p.m. on the main stage with my band, which, yes, much like Solise last year, both of us, you know, played the Grove Stage, which is an awesome, awesome stage, and we both had great sets and great responses to them, and we got bumped to the main stage for the following year, and I could never thank whoever's responsible for that enough, you know. And I had myself a hell of a time. I sweated profusely. I did laps around the stage. I was having way too much fun. It was an absolute blast and a pleasure. I opened with my yet to be released tune Joyride, into my tune Plants, my tune Arbitrary, Dirty South, then I played City Kids, then my unreleased tune Atom Dance, then I played No Occasion, and then into Psycho Killer, Daft Punk is playing at my house, and then closed it with my song Elevator. And man, it was a hell of a 50 minutes. I had a really, really, really good time. Shout out to my incredible band, Adam November and Chris Corsico, who came and brought the fire, and I am just so proud to call them bandmates. And shout out to my boy Jeff Volkhausen on the lights, who had a hell of a time getting to the festival with a canceled flight, all kinds of crazy mishigas, but he made it, and he lit the shit out of not only me, but both of the Melt sets, because as we say, we're just one big family here, the Reichman Band and the Melt Band. We share it all, baby. So that was super fun. And Zach Rosenberg on the sound, who did sound for my entire Pigeons Playing Ping Pong tour back in March, but then who swiftly went on a 3-month tour with Pat Metheny, doing monitors for Pat himself, so I haven't seen him in ages. And and he came back home just in time from Pat Metheny Euro Tour to do sound for me at Peach Fest. What a beautiful reunion. It's a beautiful thing. So yeah, thank you so much to everybody who came to my set on that main stage at 2 o'clock. It felt so well attended and ragey, and like, you know, if you know, it's a long day at the festival. It's I don't know if I'd get there at 2 o'clock, even if, you know, it's a lot. So I appreciate it beyond words. That was amazing.
And I thought it was just the best I've ever seen you guys play. I mean, I hadn't seen your band in quite some time, and it was, I mean, I knew because I had listened to recordings and seen videos of this past tour, but I had to miss the Brooklyn Bowl show, which was the big New York City play you recently had, and I was just totally floored by how the songs have come along, how the jamming has coalesced. And, you know, of course, I've watched you perform for so many years now, and just to see it on that big main stage was so fun, so fun.
Aw, thanks, pal. Thanks. It was so fun. It was really just I was celebrating the whole time. Couldn't control how fucking inappropriately happy I was. Oh,
speaking of, it was so nice to have, I don't know if you had this happen, I know it would happen to us once together, but so many people came up to me about the podcast over the weekend, and so thank you if you came and said hello to us. It was so nice to meet people who are listening to this.
Oh my God, I know, totally. Such a pleasure to meet Inappropriate Happiness listeners. Thank you for listening and for making it known, you know, as I feel like we've said, or, you know, sometimes you just feel like you're alone talking into a microphone in the comfort of your own home. But it's really an amazing, touching thing to know that people, actually real humans, you know, listen. And we're honored, we're stoked, we're inappropriately stoked about that. So thank you. And yeah, and then I had a DJ set for the VIPs, and that was right when the sun just, you know, 90 degrees of glory, just not a cloud in the sky. We were getting torched, and I had a 30-minute DJ set, and man, like, you were there, Isaac. Thank you for coming. It was hilarious. It was just one of those, just like, you know, getting cooked in the sun, watching my computer melt, and watching the poor, there was nowhere to take refuge in shade. So, well, I was like, oh man.
What I loved about it is that it was just an area with a bar and some Adirondack chairs and maybe a hammock or two. And,
yeah,
you know, typically you're at home in the comfort of your backyard with some Adirondack chairs and a hammock or two live streaming the festival. And it's so great that, you know, live streams exist for that reason. But it's amazing that your DJ set existed. So if you wanted to be at the festival pretending you were in your backyard sitting on an Adirondack chair listening to tunes, you also had that option.
Totally. And that's exactly what it felt like, right? It felt like weirdly intimate and just like such a different vibe than rocking out for shit tons of people on the main stage. It was like, you know, I don't know, what, like 25 people there? Just getting cooked. I loved it.
At the festival, lamenting that you don't have, you know, the 4th of July weekend to just have a chill backyard party, they also thought of that. And you could see Karina DJ while you just basked in the sun, which was really fun.
It was great. Notable hits that I played included Gloria Estefan's Conga and Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z. So, needless to say, oh, and of course, Hoochie Mama by the Two Live Crew. So it went, as the kids would say. It definitely went.
I had a lot of fun. It was great.
Thanks, pal. Good times. Good times. And then, yeah, I mean, we then saw some Solis, which was great. We saw some Trey, we saw some Goose. I mean, my Lord, it was insane. And then, yes, once again, our dear friends in Melt played their second set of the day at the Grove stage, which was so awesome and just felt like a kind of culminative moment for them in many a way. And I was very geeked and honored to have been included. I was their first sit-in ever. as they said, and I played a tune with them where I got to have a bass duel with bass maestro in that band, a gentleman named Lucas Sauer, who just plays absolute circles around me. He is nasty, nasty bass player. Honored to share the stage with all of them and honored to be included for a little bass duel with him. So shout out Melt one more time.
They'll be on tour this fall. Tickets are on sale now.
Yeah, catch them.
Go catch them in your city.
Catch them in your town. Dude, they're coming to your city. Trust me, they're on a endless tour this fall. And I have no doubt they're coming somewhere near where you are. So you should definitely go check them out. Go to their website. Check out Melt the Band. Good times. Good times. And yeah, then I stayed late. I saw Goose play Magic Carpet Ride, and then they played their tune Tumble, and then we drove out of there. It was a great, great Goose set, a great Trey set. Celise sat in with Trey, which was amazing. They played the MoMA dance, a special arrangement. It was really something to behold. Man, I mean, so much music, so little time. I don't remember being at a festival for more hours than I was at a festival for that day. You know what I mean? I was just like, we got there at, I don't know, 11 a.m. and left at 2:30. That was a day.
It was really, yeah, that was something else. Goose, obviously a breakout band from the 2019 iteration of, or edition of Peach Fest, also playing the Grove stage. And, you know, that set sort of lives on in Goose history as a major moment for them. So to have them return with the late night slot after their High Sierra jaunt to the West Coast and their two nights at Radio City was really something else. And, you know, just notable for the Goose fans, they played a song called Factory Fiction, which has become a much sought after rarity. And, you know, I saw some discourse online saying that they played it for Peach Fest fans who, you know, it holds a special place for them, you know, with that transition from the Grove stage in 2019, where you can listen to them start to play some of their most notable songs and nobody in the audience knows them quite yet, to their triumphant late set on Saturday night to close out a major day of music.
And triumphant it was. It really was. It was amazing. And they had some, you know, before the band took the stage, they had some technical difficulties that, you know, they had to iron out. So it was just like, you know, this sort of vibe backstage of like, oh, you know, we're going on late, what's happening? Coach, shout out to Coach, running around trying to fix something and get that. There was a lot going on. And then so when they finally took the stage and just absolutely inhabited that, you know, amphitheater, like, yo, just thick, full lights, raging vibes, just amazing. I don't know. I was definitely taken by that, and very stoked to see them after missing the whole Radio City, the hometown plays last week. Hometown for me, not them, for the record. They're from Connecticut. But yeah, totally. Crazy, crazy. A beautiful thing. And then, of course, the next day, Isaac, you and I both took off, but the Wailers played.
Yep.
The Black Crows played. I mean, a lot. Maggie Rose, our dear friend,
the Word,
brought the heat. The Word, yep. There was a lot of really cool music going on. And, of course, should have stayed. But guess what? We had places to be. We had to go. But good times all around. Shout out to Peach Fest. Shout out Montage Mountain. This was definitely an episode, a peach-centric episode. But we'd have it no other way, man. We'd have it no other way. We had to go deep and debrief on all the craziness there. It's a great festival, guys. This was its 10th year anniversary. I beg, beseech, and implore you, if, you know, the 11th year is in your purview of something to do, it's a great festival, man. It is one of the biggest, you know, East Coast jam fests out there, and it's just a vibe. I don't know. I always have a great time at Peach Fest, and I think it's a festival worth checking out. And of course, they don't need my endorsement. It's certainly felt well sold and like a full jam packed jamboree. But next year, baby, 11, you should go. We love it.
11.
11, dude. The 11th Peach Fest.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, man.
100%. Next year, 11, you should go.
Next year, the 11 will be played probably by J-Rad for the 11-year anniversary. Good talk, everyone. Good talk. Isaac, what else do we got? Probably nothing, right? Are we putting a bow on this thing? Are we feeling good? Are we feeling great? I'm feeling myself really excellent. Can't even believe it. And again, you know, not to beat this dead horse, but this last month for me has made me just the most spoiled musician on the planet, or at least it feels that way to me. You know, I played Red Rocks, I played Bonnaroo. This Peach Fest thing was really big for me too. I am just so grateful for, you know, a month of absolutely surreal bucket list sort of gigs for your girl. So once again, thank you to the fans. Thank you to the people who put it on. Thank you for everyone for having me and just being so open and welcoming and cool and checking out all of this music for no good reason at all. Thank you for being there. It means the world. And now I'm back to cold burgers and warm beer, Isaac. It's, you know, it's what keeps you grounded, keeps you humble. I can't wait.
There are worse things.
Oh, it's kind of the best. It's kind of the best. And oh, and not that I think this will be this way at all. I'm sure there will be cold beer and warm burgers here, but I am playing this very weekend, Sunday, in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. That's the Jersey Shore, people, opening for Mo. Yeah, that's right. That Mo. Every time I think about Rob, I think about Al, I think about you. Boom. You say potato, and I say three. Yes, these are Mo lyrics. I cannot wait to see my dear pals. They're like my uncles, you know? I love these guys so much. They've always been so kind to me. I am so delighted to get to kick it with them and to open what I looked up online. It's a huge stage on the beach. It's like fucking crazy town, USA over there. I didn't even realize. I thought I was signing up for a little shanty shack over there with next to a carousel, but no. It's going to be big, and I'm super excited, and I hope to see you there. If you're down on the Jersey Shore or somewhere in the environs, it's going to be really fun. And Isaac, be remiss not to shout out before we put a bow on this thing. This might be my biggest fan. His name is Steve. He's 10 years old, and he was rail riding my Peach Fest set. I gave him my pick after the set, you know, to watch somebody just get down to the music that you're playing on such a heavy, deep level is amazing. It's even more amazing when they're 10 years old and cool as hell. This kid is amazing. He's rocking a Karina shirt. I met him in Albany when I played there a few months back, opening for Too Many Zoos. I only had an extra large t-shirt to sell him because we were sold out of the smaller sizes. And man, he was rocking it. And I hope to have a smaller t-shirt for you this weekend, Steve. You are a king among kings. He's going to be at the Mo Show. I saw on Twitter. Can't wait to see this guy. He's amazing. And, you know, young fans, man. It's a beautiful thing. I really am touched. I'm touched by his fandom and good spirits. And I had a lot of people telling me that they found out about me through this 10-year-old kid telling them that they had to check out my set. So, man, if that's ever an ambassador that I've ever heard, I mean, that's so shout cool. out to Steve.
Yeah, shout
yeah,
out to
we
Steve.
Love him.
He's awesome.
Oh my lord, you saw him?
Yeah, rocking. He's the man, definitely.
Dude, I can't wait to like properly meet him. hopefully this weekend. Good times, man. Good times. So that's what it's all about, people. Connection, person to person, a little music. Some good energy. We love it here at Inappropriate Happiness. All bullshit aside, we really do. It's sort of what we live for. So, with that said, we are going to wish you a really excellent week ahead. Cannot wait to debrief on whatever this week brings, Isaac. This is a beautiful thing. Shout out to Marlo Shankweiler, guitar player in Melt, producer of this podcast. Wears many hats. You don't even know, dude. And she is next level. And we couldn't do this without her, truly.
Truly.
Shout out to Brian Brinkman, our main man. Shout out to RJB, all of our fine fellas over at the Osiris Network. They put us on quite literally. So thank you for putting us on. We love you very much. Love to be part of the Osiris umbrella. And Isaac, man, fuck, what a weekend. I'm so glad we got to do that together and got to see all that music and that, you know, we were cold lamping, posse in effect.
So awesome.
Ugh. What a beautiful thing. It's weekends like that, man. You can't make that shit up and talk about, you know, being at a place. We were at a place, man, doing it proper. So thank you to everyone for making it all so. Inappropriate Happiness loves you. I love you. Isaac loves you. I mean, shit. If you can't be good, be honest. Be good to one another. And we hope you have a great week ahead.
Have all the fun.
All. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Osiris.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.